You've used your skills to successfully download the Triple M Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. Turning your workplace experience into a nationally recognised qualification could also be tax deductible with the help of Skills Certified.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And a very good afternoon. You know MG tonight. MG's off on holidays. Liam's off on holidays, but they are back Monday. My name is Maroon. We've had an absolute myriad of special guests this week, including, in no order of how well they went, James Hooper. We had Nathan Brown. And today this bloke, he played 35 games for the Reds. He played 38 for the Western Force and 39 for New South Wales before heading over to Toulon. For 4 years, he is an absolute champion of his sport and a broadcasting legend these days as well. Drew Mitchell, welcome to the Rush Hour.
No, thanks very much for having me.
It's not often I get to work with someone who's not an NRL kind of a guy.
Yeah, well, look, I'm a keen NRL observer myself. Mm. I'm pretty pumped that the Roosters went back to back. I jumped, actually, MG wouldn't like this. I used to be a Penrith supporter growing up.
Right.
But I jumped off them when I got a little bit older and maybe every now and then have a bit of a flutter with my hard earned, and
yeah.
Roosters were my team thereafter.
Well, mate, if it's okay for Freddie Fittler to leave Penrith and come to the Roosters, I'm sure it's okay for you as well.
Yeah, that's right.
You're heading to Japan, and it's ideal we get you in today because the Rugby World Cup has been interrupted because of this typhoon, which is called Typhoon Hagibis. So what we'll do is we'll take a bit of a song, we'll come back,
sure.
We'll talk about Rugby World Cup, and we'll talk about what this means, this typhoon, these cancelled games, all that and more coming up. It's the Rush Hour at Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. MG and Liam are back Monday. Right now it's Maroon and Drew Mitchell, and plenty to come too. We're going to speak to Mark Bosnich about the A-League real soon. Andrew Bogut too, NBL royalty, will join us on the show. But Drew Mitchell is our man. I'm just getting some feedback about your being here. Somebody says 35 years old. How have you managed to stay single?
it's all about finding the right one, right?
Yeah.
Just can't be rash with those decisions. Got to make sure it's the right one when you make it. So.
Well, you're certainly taking your time, Drew.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? I probably wasn't ready when I was sort of 25 or so. I feel like I'm a bit more mature now. I know what I want. I know what makes me happy, and hopefully I can make someone else happy at some point.
You've got a good scope at your age, 35. You could marry someone 25 or someone 40, couldn't you? So happy days.
Oh, well, look, age is but a number.
Absolutely. Time for this.
Trending now.
Okay. So in relation to the Rugby World Cup, I just wanted to fill everyone in on what's going on here. Parts of Japan are still recovering from a devastating typhoon that struck a month ago as the new storm, Typhoon Hagibis, headed north over the Pacific towards Japan's main island. If it hits Tokyo Bay, like some of the current forecasts are saying, then it's going to be a multi-billion dollar disaster, they're saying, for Japan. Obviously, Drew, it's affected some scheduling around the Rugby World Cup. New Zealand, Italy won't happen. England versus France won't happen. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's a little bit disappointing from a rugby spectator and a former player's point of view. First and foremost, we hope that everyone's safety in Tokyo is taken care of. I just think when they scheduled this Rugby World Cup in Japan, they knew in terms of timing it was going to be in typhoon season. This is the 19th typhoon of this season, so it's not like it's just sort of sprung up on them. There was talk at the start of the week that there may be a typhoon that blows in that may affect scheduling or at least the conditions of the game, and they might have to look at rescheduling. So I just think if on a world stage, when it's the final pool games where teams are, be it likely or unlikely, have their final chance to qualify, to go forward into the quarterfinals, it's not really that acceptable to be cancelling games. Mm. There should have been contingencies put in place to move it to other stadiums throughout Japan, because there are other games that are taking place throughout other cities. There are other stadiums also with closed roofs as well. They threw up the idea of maybe playing a game without fans in the stadium so that it's easier to evacuate the 60 people involved in the game instead of the 60,000 watching it. So all these things were considered, but I feel like it was the decision to cancel these games was only made yesterday. If they'd made the decision on Monday when they had the heads up from the meteorologists and the Weather Bureau.
Yeah, I get you.
If you make those decisions early in the week, in in the event that it could happen. That way the games still go ahead. No one's going to sit there and question. Like, there's a player from Italy, Sergio Parisse, a veteran of four World Cups. He's played 140-odd test matches for Italy. And he came out in his press conference. Is his last match. He's retiring after this game. It's now being cancelled. And he made a point. He said if New Zealand had to get 4 points or 5 points to qualify to the quarterfinals, he doesn't think it would have been cancelled. If it was one of the Tier 1 nations that needed this game to go through, because basically what happens in a cancelled game is both teams share the points. It's counted as a draw, nil or draw, two points each. And his argument was if there was a Tier 1 nation that needed it to go through, then this wouldn't have been the outcome.
Okay, so Australia's next game is going ahead.
Yeah, that's right. That's tonight.
Yeah, and if they win that game, which they should.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if they win that game, which they should against Georgia tonight, they will play England in the first quarter final. So it'll be Michael Checker up against his old mate Eddie Jones again. I think Eddie Jones coached teams against Michael Checker coached teams. It's 6-0 to Eddie so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's another, I guess, side note is they've got 2 weeks going into this quarterfinal to prepare, whereas our boys play tonight and they'll only have an 8-day turnaround.
Michael Checker being an old Marcellin College boy, he won't give up, mate. He'll make it 6-1 after the next time. But let's just talk, because you're obviously the expert in this. Give me one or two players to keep an eye on in this Aussie side.
I think tonight there's a lot of interest on a young 19-year-old playing his second game in Jordan Patau. He's from Queensland. He had a bit of a foot injury throughout the course of the Super Rugby season, but based on potential and the small glimpses that he was able to show before he injured himself, Michael Checker and his selectors picked him in his squad. He was also suffering a hamstring injury at the start of the tournament, so he only came back against Uruguay in the last game, played 40 minutes, played well, albeit against Uruguay, so he gets another chance. And I think if he puts another performance together tonight, maybe 60, 65 minutes worth, he may force his way into the starting side against England. I'd probably have him on the bench because as a 19-year-old, big stage against a really seasoned team in England, If he was announced as a starter, they might have a bit too much time to formulate a bit of a game plan to try and expose him. Whereas if he came off the bench, he's got great impact. He's got plenty of X factor and less chance for them to kind of formulate something to try and expose a young fella.
And you are obviously part of the Rugby World Cup coverage, Drew.
Yeah, that's right. So we've got every game, every nation live on Fox. And tonight the kickoff's at 9:15, but we're on air from 8:45. So shoot just after this. Hopefully the rush hour is finished in terms of the traffic, but get across to Artarmon and get in the studio to call tonight's game.
Good on you, mate. Drew Mitchell joining us tonight on the Rush Hour, and still to come, Andrew Bogut to speak a bit of NBL. We might even still have some tickets to the Rugby League, the Downer Rugby League World Cup Nines to give away. Stick around for that. Mark Bosnich coming up as well on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. Maroon and Drew Mitchell filling in for MG and Liam. Those guys will be back on deck with you on Monday afternoon, same time. Of course, everything really heating up at the moment in the NBL with our Sydney Kings. So let's talk a bit. You said you like all sports, Drew.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You like the NBL?
Yeah, look, I've been across it a little bit since I've been home, and obviously also with the recent World Cup with the Boomers as well. So I've kept a bit of an eye on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this guy is the number one draft pick in the NBA in 2005. He is an absolute legend of the sport, not only worldwide, but obviously here in Australia, where he is playing for the Sydney Kings. Of course, I'm talking about Andrew Bogut. Welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thank you.
Mate, what would you have spent all up, 16, 18 years over there in the US?
Last season was my 14th year in the NBA, and I also had 2 in college before that, so 16 total so far.
So, mate, this weekend at the Kudos Bank Arena, you guys up against the Adelaide 36ers. It's a big game. If you look at the overall matchups, I hate to say it, but they've got the wood on you, blokes.
Yeah, last season they definitely had a 3-1, I think, in their favour, and obviously they have picked up Jerome Randall, who was with us last season, so a former teammate of ours we know pretty well, who will want to come out and have a great performance against us, but it will be a tough game. It's our first home game as well, so a little bit nervous from us, and hopefully after the first few minutes everyone kind of gets their bearings back and we can get out a win.
Andrew, I just want to go back to that first question when Maroon asked you about how many seasons you spent in the States. I just picked up when you said 16 seasons so far, does that mean the door's still open? Are you still looking at potentially going back there after this NBL season?
You can never say never. Yeah, I mean, you never say never. So I didn't expect to go back last season for my 14th year in the NBA, and that worked out. Definitely, obviously, we didn't win it, but had an enjoyable run there with Golden State. So potentially, something similar next season could happen. It's just a matter of if I want to do it and if it presents itself.
where do we... you only hear good things about the NBL, but in all honesty, Andrew, where are we on the world scale with basketball in this country?
We're getting there. I don't think you ever want to be where you're in a situation where you think you're there. You like to keep improving, and there's always things you can improve, much like the NBL, but they've really done a great job the last couple of years. Different programs, the Next Star programs, being a huge success where we can get young talent over in that gap year from college to the NBA, and we're getting more and more older veterans that have played in the NBA looking to come and play out here. So the league's getting there. We're not up there with obviously the NBA is number one clearly, and number two you put the Euro League, which is much like a Champions League style in Europe, and then maybe one or two countries, Spain, but there's a big drop off after your top three or four teams. So I'll put us up there in the top five quite comfortably.
Okay, mate. Look, we'll let you go there, and I got a busy night ahead of you, and we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you anyway, Andrew. But good luck to the Kings against Adelaide at Kudos Bank Arena. This game is tomorrow at 5:30. You can still get tickets, so go the Kings. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Thanks. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. Good to speak to you, Andrew Bogart, joining us on the Rush Hour. Geez, Drew, you picked up well there when he said so far.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, off the back of his MVP performance last year in the NBL, he got picked up by the Golden State Warriors, and just glowing reports from the coach Steve Kerr and players like Steph Curry and the like that he went over there to join. So yeah, I guess the door is still ajar, and most certainly it sounds like if it was to open, that Andrew Bogart would walk straight back through it.
Yeah, another sport that's on the rise in this country is, of course, the A-League. Mark Bosnich will join us to talk about that. But you have travelled the world playing your great game of rugby, and we are going to ask you in our power rankings tonight, top five, 5-1, the best places to play around the world. Are you up for that?
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
You can't say Dungog and Singleton and Tuke. You got to say all joints around the world.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'll have a think about it.
We'll come back and do that. It's the Rush Hour at Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M with Maroon and Drew Mitchell. Drew's got to jump on the Triple M chopper and head straight to the headquarters of Fox for the Rugby World Cup after this, don't you, mate?
Yeah, that's it. I've worked, actually, I'm learning to fly chopper, so I've got 20 hours in the book.
Probably, oh, beautiful.
Probably not enough to take the reins on my own at the moment, but
mate, you'll be right. You'll be right. It's up there on the roof. Just jump in. Yeah, just nice. You can't go too wrong.
No, that's right.
You know, yeah. If there's an experienced pilot next to you, you can always just hand over.
What is it, an injection seat or something?
Ejector seat, injection seat.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to go in the ejection seat either.
Hey, you've played rugby all around the world now. We're talking 71 games for the Wallabies. 4 years in Toulon, but obviously a successful career here in Australia with Queensland, New South Wales and Western Force. Yep. The point I want to make is there's not many corners of the globe where you haven't played at least one game of rugby.
Yeah, that's right. I've been very fortunate to be able to travel the world and, you know, from a young age with schoolboys and sevens and then into my 15s career. And the thing about rugby is that it's a global game and you do get to go to all corners. So I've been very fortunate.
All right, which brings us to this. Would you dance with me, please? No, kidding. Now, this is our power rankings, okay? 5-1, the best places in the world where you've played, the best places in the world to play rugby.
Okay, number five would be the Nou Camp. And a lot of football is played there. Barcelona football team is based there. In the top 14 French domestic competition, we played a final there against Racing Metro. There's maybe 108,000 people spectating that on that afternoon. I was injured. I was down at the Rumblars having a few sangrias and the like, and missed the team bus to the stadium and got the train with all the fans just in a pair of board shorts and a t-shirt, and I watched the game. Well, and we lost that one. So that's why it's at five.
Right.
Four would be Suncorp Stadium. A lot of football code stadiums you ask here in Australia. I think one. Had to be here in Australia, and the way that it's built up on top of you, we always had a pretty good success there with the Wallabies at Suncorp as well, and just the Caxton Street, everything that sort of wraps up Suncorp Stadium and the atmosphere that they create, that's a pretty good one to play at.
Three.
Next one's Millennium Stadium in Cardiff. Now, this is 80,000 people, roof closed, 75,000 drunk Welsh people singing at the top of their lungs, absolutely creating just this intense atmosphere, and played there for the Wallabies on a number of occasions, but also we won a Champions League Cup there for Toulon as well. So it was, I think, Johnny Wilkinson's last game, so it was nice to send him off a winner there as well.
What's it like playing in a stadium that's closed in by a roof?
Look, it's different, especially depending on the weather leading into it. The ground's usually pretty dense and rips up a fair bit underneath your feet, especially over there in the UK. But it's, I don't know, just the sound is just caught inside that stadium. So everything is, a lot of it's done by signals and hand signals, and you've got to make sure that communication's really on point, and you're not just communicating with your ears, but you've got to look around and making sure that you are, you acknowledge that you've got the right calls. But yeah, it's pretty special.
Two
would be my local ground at Toulon, Stade Mayol. It's only about sort of 18,000 people capacity. But when you arrive there for the game about 2 hours before kickoff, you get off a bus and you walk 600 metres and it's probably 100 people deep on either side, all just chanting. They're really big on song. There's brass bands and all the like, and you're walking through and they've got all their chants, and it just creates a really special atmosphere. And then there's also, before we kick off, what they do, this Pilu Pilu, the chant, which every single person in the stadium gets right behind. And also they had a really good awareness of how the team was going. And the moment they felt that we'd just broken the spirits of the opposition team, we're going to go on to win it, they'd start throwing newspapers in the air. So for the opposition team, when the newspapers are in the air, everyone in the stadium has written you off, and they thought that Toulon were going to go on and win it. So I think maybe only on one occasion, the 4 years I was there, they threw the papers in the air and we end up losing the game. Wow. But otherwise, it's quite formidable. It was a pretty good place to play.
One. Here it is, the big one, number one.
Yeah, look, I'm a bit nostalgic about this stadium. It's Ballymore in Brisbane. The old Ballymore, it's not really used at all anymore. I think it's just the training venue for the Queensland Reds and maybe even the Brisbane Roar for the A-League. But I like that there's a hill there, the Forex Hill, the Don't Go Latho Hill, as it became when he was leaving the Queensland Reds. And I grew up, throughout my teenage years and secondary school, going to that ground and watching the Queensland Reds play, and then to be able to go out there and play on it. And then once the full-time whistle's blown, everyone runs onto the field and there's sort of tailgate parties out surrounding the ground outside. So really, my top two are just sort of small suburban grounds. And then, outside of that, a couple of bigger stadiums. But I like that sort of that suburban feel.
But you've got two of your top five stadiums in Brisbane, in Queensland.
Yeah, I know. I spent most of my life probably growing up in Queensland, but I was born here in New South Wales, so I'm a big New South Wales fan. But if I'm being honest, Olympic Stadium, it's a little bit too far away from the action. Mm-hmm. 80,000 there in a Bledisloe is pretty special, but yep, still quite far. And Allianz, when we were there, we weren't going so well with the Waratahs, so we didn't really feel it. But I'm looking forward to seeing once Allianz Stadium or Sydney Football Stadium is being rebuilt, because I think it'll be pretty special then.
Okay, good on you. That's Drew Mitchell joining us for the Power Rankings on the Rush Hour at Triple M. Drew Mitchell and Maroon. We're still going to speak to Mark Bosnich about these big games coming up in the A-League over the weekend here on the Rush Hour at Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Hey, if you like tickets to get along and have a look at the Nines, the Rugby League World Nines at Bankwest Stadium, a family pass for the 2 days, Friday 18th, Saturday 19 October. Get on the phone now, 133353. Down a Rugby League World Cup Nines, show your pride. Head to nrl.com/tickets. It's the Rush Hour at Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour right across the Triple M network. Maroon and Drew Mitchell in the chair tonight. Well, we promised you we'd talk about a bit of A-League, which is going gangbusters. Of course, our boys, the Sydney FC, the current premiers. Let's talk a bit of A-League with Bozza. Mark Bosnich, welcome back to the Rush Hour.
Hi, Maroon. Hi, Drew. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, very good.
5-0 against Nepal. Do you read much into that? What do we take out of that? Obviously, we should have won that game.
Yeah, 3 points. That's pretty much. Look, in these early qualifying stages, and you got to look, and I keep saying to people, and look, it's understandable. People want to sort of sell the match and this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is, we beat Kuwait 3-0 last game. This team were beaten by Kuwait 7-0. So the bottom line is, just do the job, get the 3 points. This is the first round of qualifying. Then we get into the serious bit after this. So I take pretty much in terms of it's great to get the 3 points. In terms of the way they played and this, that, and the other, don't worry about it now. Just worry about it when it comes to the business end of the competition.
Hey, Boz, I'm excited for Western Sydney Wanderers fans. They returned to Parramatta after, what, 3 seasons or something. And, mate, they're just going to love Bankwest Stadium. I know us NRL lovers have enjoyed it this season.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And I've been out to that stadium, as I guess you both have been. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's the steepest stadium in terms of the way you look at the pitch in the whole of Australia. It's wonderful for rectangle sports. And I just hope that they get off to a really good start, just like Parramatta did when they thrashed West Tigers. I think that really, really, really christens off, you know, the start that you have at a new stadium, because you don't want it to become an albatross around your neck. Like, you know, you don't want to be waiting three or four games and thinking, well, we haven't got our first win here. So all systems go for the Wanderers. They've got a wonderful support, and the support now get a stadium they deserve as well. So they've got Central Coast Mariners tomorrow night. Won't be easy, but they should win that game.
Right, what about the others? The Sydney FC taking on Adelaide United tonight.
Yeah.
How's Sydney FC coming together?
They're coming together very well. They've made quite a few, let's say, creative signings. And when I mean that, I mean they've gone for players like they went for Luke Bratton, people like this who Costa Barbarousis, who are real attack-minded players. They got rid of, they didn't get rid of him. He went, Josh Brillante, who's been an integral part of that midfield. He went down to Melbourne City. But he provided a lot of steel with Brandon O'Neill. So Stephen Corica, obviously out on the top of winning the grand final last season, has gone for a more creative, a more attractive look. And look, they'll all be looking forward to tonight's game against a team who's been the most impressive, along with Melbourne City, during the FFA Cup, the pre-season games, in Adelaide. It's never easy going over there. And it's going to be even harder because they won't have Ryan Grant, nor will they have Andrew Redmayne in goal because they're off of the Socceroos. So tough game for them.
Boss, have I got this right? In the A-League now, we've got one new team in this for this season. That's the new Victorian team. But then season, we get another team in Western Sydney. Have I got that right?
That's 100% right. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because the Western Sydney Wanderers basically turned around and said, look, to Macarthur Rams, who will come in next season, can you just give us a season back at our home stadium just to get things going? So a gentleman's agreement between the two. So there will be a bye this season, and the Macarthur Rams will come in next season as well.
Oh, that's nice of them, just to
sportsmanship.
Very nice.
Give them a little bit of a solid.
So it's kind of like the international rugby thing he's saying to those teams. Hey, don't worry about it. You know, just two points each. We've got the teams we want in the next round. Hey, Drew.
I know, right? We spoke about that earlier about Sergio Parisse. His last game being cancelled. But then also a lot of people saying, as his last game, he should be happy with drawing with the All Blacks. So, Bozzy, you've said that you'd come down and play for my six-a-side soccer team.
Yes, I will.
Will you do it?
I will. Okay. I will. For you, I will, Drew.
Yeah, nice.
For
you, I appreciate
that. If
it
was anyone else, I would say no, but for you, mate, you're very special. I will.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, mate.
Good on you, Boz.
No worries. Take care, guys.
All right, mate. There he is, Mark Bosnich, which, of course, you can catch on Fox. Well, we'll catch you tonight for the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And, mate, what is the name of your six-a-side soccer team?
I think it's Not Bad. Not bad.
Not bad. You know,
yeah.
Where's their home ground, Queen's Park?
No, it's we play up at Waverley Oval on the synthetic pitch there. So
So if Boz plays, maybe you just shout him a mistake and a couple of schooners back at the Robin Hood.
Yeah, happy to do that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Charing Cross.
Charing Cross Hotel.
Yeah,
okay.
Across the road. Yeah, that's my jam, yeah.
Good as gold, mate. Always good to catch up.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Rush Hour MG is back on Monday at Triple M.
You have used your skills to successfully download the Triple M Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. Turning your workplace experience into a nationally recognised qualification could also be tax deductible with the help of Skills Certified.